The fifth parak is going to get back to a concept that's critical in understanding the prohibition of mi'ilah, that only if somebody benefits in the amount of a pruta is there going to be a violation of the prohibition of mi'ilah. However, if the value received by an individual from an item owned by the hekdesh is going to be less than a pruta, then there's not going to be an Isser D'oraisa of Mi'ilah. So in fact, to understand our parak, we need to divide up between two categories of items. One category of item, this one is the much simpler one, is an item that does not degrade with usage. So there's no real wear and tear, it doesn't break. That is category number one, and that's going to be the classic case that there is Mi'ilah if the person benefits from that item, a pruta. Benefit from an item of a pruta, type of item that does not degrade with use. However, category number two is the type of item which does degrade with use. And accordingly, it's not only that one requirement for mi'ilah, that if you benefit in the value of a pruta, you violate mi'ilah. But there's a second requirement, a second condition as well, is that the item has to degrade a pruta through the usage, through the personal usage, in order to violate the prohibition of mi'ilah. Everyone agrees to these two concepts. The Mishnah Aleph is going to have a machlokis as to a possibly third category of items. Does it apply in category one or category number two? Where does it fit? Then we're going to be talking about an item which does not degrade immediately, but in the future, it will degrade. And the question is that category number one, that there's mi'ilah, even if you just benefit from a pruta's worth, or does it have both of the criteria requirements that you benefit a pruta and there's a degradation of the item in the value of a pruta? So that's the subject of machlokis in Mishnah Aleph. Hanehene shave pruta mina ekdesh. If somebody has hana'a in the value of a pruta from an item that is owned by the hekdesh, alfa pi shelo pagam, even though there was no diminution in value of the item, there is going to be a ma'al, there's a mi'ila divrei Rabbi Akiva. What Rabbi Akiva is saying is this item that doesn't have immediate decrease in value, but it will in the future, that is going to be in category number one. We look at it as an item that does not degrade, and accordingly, we only have the one requirement to violate mi'ila, that there was a benefit of ashave pruta that will violate mi'ilah. Chachamim amrim, when it comes to this type of item that will only degrade in the future, kol davar sheyesh lo pakam, any item that does have a diminution in value, even if not immediately, lo ma'al ach yifkom, is going to be in category number two. Not only do you have a benefit of a shave pruta, but also there's only going to be a mi'ilah if you fulfill the second requirement that the item degrades, it goes down in value, a pruta as well. So that's the sheet of Chachamim, that it is going to be in category number two. V'chol davar she'ein bo pgam, anything that has no pgam, it has no decrease in value at all, even in the future, kevin shenehen emal, as soon as the person benefits, this is category number number one, that is going to violate the prohibition of mi'ilah. Now we're going to give examples of items that fall into category number one. Items that do not get damaged, do not degrade with yutz kesa, nasna katla b'tzavara. We're going to talk about a woman. Three uses of various items that are owned by the Beis Hamikdash. If she wore a gold necklace that was hekdesh for his personal benefit, there is no degradation of a gold necklace. Tabas biada, number two, if she had a gold ring on her hand, she's wearing it for beautification purposes, that is mi'ilah immediately. This is the type of item that does not decrease in value, does not degrade with usage. Number three, shatata b'koshal tav, she drank out of a koshal tav, a cup of gold. Kevan shenanis, this is category number one. As soon as she has the benefit in the value of a pruta, ma'ala, that is mi'ilah. Only one requirement, not two requirements. On the other hand, it comes to category number two. We're going to give three examples as well. We're going to talk about a man. Number one, lavash b'chaluk, he wore a shirt that was owned by hekdesh. That is something that degrades with use. Kisa betali, so he covered up himself. He wore an outer garment, a cloak. And number three, bika bekardom, he was chopping wood with an axe. Again, something that degrades with usage. Lo ma'al achiifkom, there is going to be no mi'ila until he fulfills both of the requirements. Number one, he has to benefit in the value of a pruta. And also, ma'al achivkom, there's going to be no me'ila until it is pagum, until it degrades in the value, in the amount of a pruta. Talash min achatash kishichai, we're talking about an animal that was donated to be used as a, in the base of Mikdash as a korban, but it is a balmum. A balmum, something that is a blemish, it disqualifies it from being brought as a korban. Accordingly, now that it has a mum, it has to be redeemed. If the person is plucking hairs out of it, then it has to be redeemed in order to use that money for the base of Mikdash. That will cause the value of the item to go down. So accordingly, because it needs to be deemed, and you need to buy another korban, and the person is benefiting from that item by picking hairs out of it, lomal ad sheyifkom, it's considered category number two, that it degrades in value, and accordingly, there will be no me'ila until that item goes down in value by a shava pruta. In addition, the person has to benefit a pruta. Kishi meis, however, if that animal is dead, it was donated to be brought as a korban and it died. This is an item that no longer degrades in value because it doesn't have value. You can no longer redeem it anymore and use the money. You can't redeem an item that is of hektesh, of that status, because what are you going to do with it? You're going to use the meat in order to feed it to dogs. That would be disgraceful. So you're not allowed to redeem it anymore. Accordingly, if it's dead, if somebody would pluck here, this is plucking here of an out of an item that is viewed as something that does not degrade in value anymore because it has no value. You can't use it. Kevan shenen, as soon as the person has hana'a in the value of a pruta ma'al, it is going to be a me'ila because that's category number one. There are no two requirements. Now Mishnah Beis talks about category number two, an item which does degrade. Nehne de kachatzi pruta upagam bechatzi pruta. If the hana'a, we said there are two requirements for category number two, an item which degrades in order to violate mi'ila, is that the person had to benefit a pruta and the value of the item had to go down by a pruta. But how about if the person benefited by half a pruta and the value of the item went down by half a pruta, not a full pruta? O shenehene beshave pruta bedavar echad upagam. If he's using two items and one of them he benefited from in the value of the pruta but did not go down in value, and the second one he didn't benefit from but it did go down in value, a shava pruta, there's not going to be a me'ila in either of these cases, odd, till you fulfill both of the requirements, because we're talking about category number two, an item which does degrade, so there's only going to be a me'ila, there's not going to be a me'ila until ad sheyehaneh b'shav apruta, until the person benefits in the value of a pruta, minimum of a pruta, and in addition, v'yivkom b'shav apruta b'davar echad, and there has to be a diminution in value of the item, the full shav apruta or more. Mishnah Gimel Me'ila typically removes an item from hektesh. This is going to be an important thing. When there is a me'ila, you had something that's, for example, owned by the Bedek Habayis, if somebody converts that for personal use, that will remove that item from having a status of sanctity, from having a status of hektesh. And accordingly, if a second person uses the same item, there is not going to be a second me'ila because the item has already been removed from its hektesh status. Accordingly, Mishnah Gimel, Ein Mo'al Achar Mo'al B'Muktashin, there is the default rules. There's no me'ila after me'ila. As soon as A violates me'ila, B will not violate me'ila by using the same item. But there are two exceptions when we're talking about a type of item that is Kedusha Saguv, it has a higher level of Kedusha. That's the type of item that cannot be redeemed out of its status of hektesh. Ela Behema, an item, an animal that was donated to be brought as a korban, and it is unblemished. If it becomes blemished, if it has a mum, then it can be redeemed, but if it's unblemished as kedusha sakuf, it cannot be redeemed, and accordingly, even if there's a me'ila on that item, it is not taken out of its status. A me'ila can't be redeemed. It doesn't get removed from its status of kedusha sakuf. Accordingly, A will violate me'ila, B will violate. There is me'ila after me'ila for multiple people who have hana from that item. And in addition, number two is clay sharis, an item that is owned by this base of Mikdash to be used in the Avoda. It has a level of Kedusha Saguf as well. And accordingly, there will be Me'ila after Me'ila. Now we're going to give three examples of this. Ketzad, Rachav Agabe Behema. If somebody, A, took a ride on top of an animal that's donated to be brought as a korban, it is not blemished. Accordingly, it has Kedusha Saguf. And Uba Chaveru, and B, after A did, B took a ride on it as well, on that cow that was to be brought as a korban. V'rachav, u'bachaver v'rachav, and C went and rode on it as well. Each one is going to violate the prohibition of me'ila, because that's an item that has kedusha seguf. Number two, shasa b'koshel zahav, u'bachaver v'shata, If you have a kos that is owned by the Beis Hamikdash, it's a kli shares. A took a drink from it. B took a drink from it. C took a drink from it because it's kedushas aguf. A's usage doesn't take it out of its hekdesh, and accordingly, there is meila after meila. Then third example: talash mina chatas ubachavero v'talash ubachavero v'talash. Somebody took plucked hairs out of an animal that is designated to be brought as a korban chatas. It could be other korbanas as well. Talking about an unblemished animal, it has kedushas aguf. There are going to be multiple violations here again. Kula malu, each of them have violated the prohibition of mi'ila because we're talking about an item that has kedusha saguf. Rabbi Omer Kosha in Lapinion, Rabbi tells us, and he's actually being a little bit more machir, even though it's going to sound the same as the Tanakama, there's going to be a nafkamina or multiple nafkaminas. Rabbi Omer Kosha in Lapinion, any item that cannot be redeemed, that's an item that has kedusha saguf, yesh bo ma'ala chamal, there will be mi'ila after mi'ila. What is Rabbi coming to add that the Tanakhama would disagree with? So Rebbe is coming to add one explanation is that even wood that was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, that is to be used on the Mizbeach and burning the Korbanas, there would be Me'ila after Me'ila, according to Rebbe, because that is Kedusha Saguf. There's another opinion that Rebbe is coming to include that if somebody donated a Korban and there was a mum, it became blemished there afterward, typically you would redeem it, it would then come out of its sanctity, and you do shchita on it for your personal use, because it's no longer hekdesh. Rebbe is telling us that if you didn't go in the right order, but you had a korban, and it got a mum, instead of redeeming it first, you did shchita before pidyon, so you went out of order. In that instance, there will be me'ila after me'ila on that animal as well. Mishnah Dalet is going to be talking about a little bit different type of me'ila. Up until now, we'll be talking about a me'ila when somebody benefits from an item, an article that is owned by a hekdesh. And now we're talking about another form of me'ila when somebody has an article and he takes it out of the domain of hekdesh. So he is, as we're using the legal phrase, conversion, converting it from the ownership, from the possession of hekdesh to his own ownership. Again, we're talking when it comes to me'ila, of the me'ila, the classic me'ila that we're talking about is b'shogig. Somebody didn't do it on purpose. He did it, and it wasn't b'mezid, it's b'shogig. He did it unintentionally. And we're talking in particular in Mishnah Dalet about the gizbar. Gizbar is somebody who works as the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, a representative of the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, a custodian of the items. And accordingly, these items are already in his possession. So we have to have him take it out of his possession in order to violate the prohibition of Me'ila. Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Natal Evin or Korash al Hektes. If we have that gizbar, and he took an Evin, a stone or a beam that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, Harezeh lo Ma'al, even though he has intention, it's B'shogeg, I'm going to use this for my personal use, it is not taking it out of his possession, out of the possession of the Beis HaMikdash yet, because he is permitted to have it in his possession. However, Nesan al Chaveira, as soon as he transfers it to B, he transfers it to his friend, that is when A violates the prohibition of Me'ila. It's not when he possesses it, but he takes it and gives it to somebody else. Now he's taking it out of the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. Hu ma'al, the gizbar is ma'al, v'chavir lo ma'al, and B, his friend, is not ma'al. As soon as A gives it to B, that takes the item out of the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. It loses its sanctity accordingly, even if B uses it for his personal use thereafterward. That is not going to be me'ila. There's only going to be one me'ila. We're not talking about an item that has kedusha saguf. And accordingly, there's only one me'ila A will violate. And now we're going to have a couple more examples. Bina'o b'soch beis, so we're talking about A, the gizbar, the Beis HaMikdash. He built it into his house. We're not talking about that he built it into the structure of his house. If he did, there would be an immediate benefit, and that would be me'ila. But we're talking about that he built it into his roof, for example. He was filling up a hole in the roof. And in Harezeh lo ma'al, there's not going to be me'ila yet because it was permitted to be in his possession. He hasn't benefited yet. Ad shi'ador tachteh b'shavapruta, until he is underneath and benefits from it in the value of a shavapruta. For example, it stopped the rain from coming in. That is going to be a second example. Number three, again, talking about this gizbar, working for the Beis HaMikdash. Natal pruta shel hektesh b'shogeg, again, not in purpose. He had a pruta of a hektesh. and he forgot it's the hektesh. It's b'shogeg hareis lomal, because he's still, it's in his possession still. It hasn't left his possession. There's not going to be no meila nisano l'chaver. But as soon as he gives it to B, hu ma'al v'chaver lomal, as we said before, there's a meila on A for taking it out of the possession of the base of mikdash. But B will not violate meila because A already took it out of the status of hektesh. So even if B uses it for his personal use, there's no meila. There's no meila achar meila. If A gave it nisanala balan to the bathhouse attendant, he's paying for a service here. Afal pishalo rachatz, even though A, who's going into the shvitz, the bathhouse, he hasn't used the bathhouse yet, but immediately when he gives it to the attendant, ma'al A violates the prohibition of mi'ila. Why is that true? Omerlo, because the attendant says to him, as soon as he receives the fee, the entrance fee, hare merchatz psucha, now you can go and use the merchatz, the shvitz, as you so desire. He kanes rechos, you go ahead and wash. In other words, the transaction is complete immediately when that shavaputa is given to the bathhouse attendant, and now the services are open. And this would be different from a barber, for example, that the services haven't been supplied yet. In that situation, it wouldn't be simply on payment. If you would pay in advance, you'd have to be required, have actually received the service of the barber of the haircutting in that instance. Mishnah Hay is going to be an interesting Mishnah, and it talks about how about if one person doesn't have the full Shavaputa benefit, but it's divided up between A and B, and A facilitates B eating or benefiting. So, for example, if they're having a piece of pizza, and A has less than a Shavaputa of the pizza, and he gives B, and B has less than a Shavaputa. Each is a half a pruta. Do we combine those together? Or if A has oil that he's anointing with, and he only takes half of a pruta, and he anoints B with a half a pruta, are we going to aggregate those two together? And the answer is A will violate. He's the facilitator in each of those instances, and A will violate the prohibition of Mi'ila, will aggregate the half a pruta and half a pruta together to a whole pruta. Mishnah A says as follows, Achilas of Achilas Chaveru. A is eating half a pruta, and B, that is facilitated by A, eats half a pruta of Hanayas of Hanayas Chavero, or A benefits Hana, half a pruta, and B benefits half a pruta, Achilas of Hanayas Chavero. If A eats half a pruta and he facilitates B benefiting half a pruta, or the reverse, Hanayas of Achilas Chavero, A has Hana, half a pruta, and B eats half a pruta, facilitated by A, and all of these mitzarfin zeim zeh, they will all be mitzarif together. A will violate the prohibition of me'ila because there is a benefit, either eating or other benefit, anointing, etc., that A has done and facilitated v'afilu l'zman ruba. And even if there's a large gap between A and B's benefits and eating, etc., we will still aggregate those two half prutas together to have a full pruta, and there will be a violation of the prohibition of me'ila.